Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Give it to me!
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where innovation, cooperation, and serving our communities are the things that have kept our story alive since 2013, and there's no end in sight. Thanks for joining us.
If we hadn't already done Goodwill, I would think that was Goodwill.
Right? See, now that would work for Goodwill.
And then I saw who it is, and I was like, what? Wow, definitely not Goodwill.
No. And I mean, I guess maybe that's just where you go when it's that generic and you're Land O'Lakes.
Land O'Lakes. Okay, so
Land O'Lakes.
Maybe I'm being unfair. I just think butter when I think Land of Lakes.
I also think butter. I did not know.
They do make cheese and eggs and cocoa. Oh, yeah, because milk. It's very dairy oriented.
But I didn't know it was a farmer-owned co-op.
I did not either.
I'm like about to, like, this has actually worked, and now I'm going to start buying Land O'Lakes because I'm like, what? You're a family-owned co-op? That's so cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
Am I being, like, co-op washed here?
Are you being co-opted?
Hey-o.
It was too obvious.
Anyway, yes, in case you're wondering, our about page shenanigans continue in 2023 because we think we are hilarious.
That's true. You will tell us when we're not anymore. Feedback at thing.me.
You didn't need us when to tell you. When you're ready for us to switch, just let us know.
Meanwhile, I hope that you are covering your face with Vaseline.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know about slugging?
No. Nope.
Slugging is the process of slathering your face with petroleum jelly overnight in order to give your skin that gorgeous glow.
Literal petroleum jelly?
Yep.
Okay, like I have two questions. One, Vaseline is back.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was growing up, I mean, this is amazing. This is like a total full circle thing, although I do not recall ever putting Vaseline in my face. I cannot imagine the horrific acne that would have resulted. But when I was growing up in Montana and North Dakota, I would occasionally have such dry skin on my legs. Like they would just like itch horrifically. And once in a while, I'll still do this, that you slather them in Vaseline and put on socks or even wrap them in Saran wrap.
Yeah.
And sleep like that.
Do it to your face. Maybe not the Saran wrap part for your face.
I don't know. Why not?
Leave yourself some air holes. But yeah, the moisturizer part, I heard about this from Bria Grant on the Reading Glasses podcast, mentioned it last month. And so I looked it up. Chara Marie points out this has been a thing for a couple of years, but Bria had just started doing it. So I think it's having another moment in its cycle. And I looked it up. And of course, because I wanted to make sure I was getting accurate information, I went to Cleveland Clinic to find, some medical opinion on this. Turns out it's all right. Not bad. Moisturizes, protects, repairs damage, easy to take off. Not a lot of known side effects if there are any. So
hysterical. And they call it, by the way, slugging because of slugs.
Yeah.
Like the slime.
Because the mucus that a slug leaves.
So gross.
It's like you let a slug crawl over your face, but without the gross, nightmarish inducing part of it. Because it's just the best.
Slugging isn't right for everyone. Dr. Kasouf explains what skin types and conditions should avoid it. Oily skin.
Yeah.
Acne prone. Yes. Which like, oof. God.
If you've got oily skin, you don't need to slug in the first place. Right. So yes.
But if you have dry skin and you're not prone to breakouts. Wow. Slugging. That's incredible.
Plus, what a great name. So have you been slugging? Oh, yes. I've been slugging.
God, your skin looks amazing. Have you been slugging?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Slug every night.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, this is one of those things that I never should have. I have to apologize to my brother. I never should have doubted him.
Oh, okay.
Because he found out early about the RRR movie.
What and is now, the RRR movie?
The RRR movie is the ur thing in movies right now. Okay, it's an Indian film.
Okay, so it's the name of an actual film, not a genre.
It's the name of a movie, and it's literally three R's, RRR. Like, he started texting me about
revolt.
It. And I was just like, what are you talking about? Like, why do you keep saying this? And he's like, it's insane, and there's, like, CGI animals, and the da-da-da-da-da. Like, it's just like,
this is one of those ones that just made me 100% smarter with the moment you introduced it.
Okay, good. Because it's, like, going to be in the Oscars, I think. It won the Golden Globe for Best Original Song. It did not win Best Non-English Language Film for the Golden Globe, but everybody's like, no, I think it might actually, it's on the short list now for the Oscars. So it is a, like, martial arts Bollywood, like his musical, 3 hour long movie in the language called Telugu. And it recently, so my brother like found it and may or may not have checked it out before it was in wide release. And then it hit US shores, I don't know, like last week, all of a sudden premiered in the US. And it's everywhere.
It's
a sensation.
It's music beat Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, Top Gun Maverick, and Rihanna.
I mean, that, by the way, is like the power.
I mean,
of
Lady
Indian
Gaga
market.
And Top Gun Maverick are the same, but I just like had to throw that in on top of
right.
It. Yeah.
Lady, right, exactly. Like the Lady Gaga song from frickin' Maverick, you guys. Yeah, it just went bananas. And there's this whole piece from the Indian Express about what a global sensation it is that was published yesterday. And it was like, you know, within 6 days or within 4 or 5 days of its release, even internationally, before it got to the US, it was in Deadline, Variety, the New York Times. And like, it's just, I mean, honestly, I would have been on this like 2 weeks ago, except I didn't believe it.
So I think you're still in time because it's going to probably have a big night at the Oscars, right? Because it sounds like it's going to at least win song at the Oscars.
I think the nominations haven't come out. So the nominations will be announced on January 24th and then we will know.
Oh,
so
but,
if
yeah.
it definitely, but
it'll
it's a short
get nominated.
Now.
It'll get nominated.
It kind of seems like it.
Sounds exactly. like it might even win. 73 million hours on Netflix. That ain't bad for an international at
and
all.
And the Netflix apparently is a... What is it? The Netflix version is like a Hindi language dub of the original Tagulu with subtitles. It's not even considered like ideal, you know, for because it's like dubbed and with subtitles.
Right.
But people still are just
well,
like,
if you don't speak Telugu, you may not notice, I suppose.
Right.
But I don't know. Actually, there might be other sound issues with the dubbing, I suppose, if you're not going with the straight original.
But I watched like a few minutes of it and it is visually insane. It's just like, I mean, Bollywood productions are so over the top anyway, like, and it's just banana pants. So
this,
yeah.
they're saying this could do for Bollywood what Crouching Tiger did for martial arts, Hong Kong, Chinese films. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, if you're under, you know, if you got a blizzard, maybe a bomb cyclone, atmospheric river, just throwing that out there. If you're not into playoff football, like spend 3 hours this weekend watching RRR because it's what everyone's doing.
See, I've been trying to watch Decision to Leave, which is the Korean film that's getting a lot of buzz. And now I got to watch this one too, because this just looks insane. this looks great.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this one.
My other thing this week is just calling attention to face stickers. They're not new, but I see them all over them. Like everybody, especially over the holidays, I felt like a lot of YouTubers and stuff and celebrities doing face stickers, just like sticking hearts on their face and stars and stuff.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it it's the kinder, gentler face tattoo?
It's very much like, I don't know if it's quite entirely Gen Z. It's also millennial, but yeah, it's a like, ooh, let's do face stickers when we're dressing up for fun, when we're doing something, you know, celebratory.
Huh. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. This is almost as much a thing check as a thing call of like, I'm seeing a lot of people do this. Can anybody back me up out there in the world of people who are doing this?
Yeah. I'm looking. I mean, it looks like Khloe Kardashian had eyeliner stickers.
Mm-hmm.
And so there you go. Like, it's a little sticker above and below her eyes, it seems.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I found a funny Teen Vogue reference that kind of, here, I'll throw that in our Discord. Okay. That's kind of along the lines of what I'm talking about.
So it's funny because I'm just going to have to spoil it. There's a thing that I've had in my reminders list as a bullpen thing that is kids are wearing these star-shaped acne patches.
Oh.
Out in the world.
So the face stickers may even be old, and the acne patch is building on top of that. Because that Teen Vogue article is from 2019.
I wonder. So face stickers must, because I was like, wait, you wear the acne patch out in the world now? But they make these cute little star mm-hmm. ones, and there's kind of this Gen Z brand that's become really popular that are the star-shaped ones. Uh-huh. And they're wearing them out there. And it must be because the face stickers like paved the way. Also, face stickers are cute.
Yeah, they're like adorable.
I love this.
And I've seen men and women both, you know, just popping them on for kicks. It's kind of
this could not be cuter. But also, yes, this 100% goes. So you got a bonus thing, everybody. Bonus thing with the star shaped acne stickers. But I never would have put it together with the cute face stickers.
Yeah. Stickers on your face. I wish I had taken pictures, you know, or collected more links of examples, because the Teen Vogue story, the examples they're given are kind of way over the top. Like lots of stickers on that lady's face.
Yeah, that's like a lot. Mm-hmm.
The ones I'm seeing is like, oh, there might be like a couple of stars and a unicorn or something like that. Maybe
right.
A heart. Yeah.
Well, let me see if I can find these little sticker pimple patches. Justin Bieber has turned these pimple patches into the new must-have accessory.
Boom.
Oh my goodness.
There we go.
Boom. I mean, I almost want to dump my second thing because this is like the thing. This is the thing. It's okay. It's a double. It's a double. Star-shaped pimple patches. Totally goes with face stickers.
No one even needs to know.
Right. Because the face stickers are already cool, which they clearly are. Wow. I love it. Well, even this discovery of crossover things is not enough actually to make me dump my second thing, because I could not be more excited about this, because once again, my friend Sarah, shout out Sarah, on the cutting edge of everything, has been super into caviar. And then that caused me, I was at Whole Foods all by myself before the holidays, and they just had a whole like display of caviar and blini. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a caviar person in 2023. I'm doing this. And she was like, oh, hell yeah. I've been all about like champagne. I was like, yeah, I got a bunch of tiny, like half bottles of champagne. I am going to become a champagne and caviar lady this year. This is going to be amazing. I can't wait. And then my friend Christine was like, I'm also about caviar. Let's do it. And then tastingtable.com has an interview with Martha Stewart published today. Martha Stewart makes the case for why we should all be enjoying more caviar.
What is the case for why?
It's awesome.
Because it tastes good.
Because it's amazing and classy. It's indulgent and glamorous, and it makes you feel hella special. And it's more accessible, probably because it's a freaking thing.
All right. So
I bought it for like $13.
A note and a question. Yes. The note, I could have sworn you picked caviar before. Like years ago. So I was thinking, oh, is this one where we've caught two cycles? But I could not find a reference to you picking it in the first run of It's a Thing way back when. Mm-hmm. I did find from June of last year, a health student sent us a tweet about caviar bumps in which a dollop of fish roe is eaten off the back of one's hand, becoming a trendy way to consume caviar.
Wow. Well, maybe that incepted itself into my brain, but also that was probably a recognition of the fact that it's become this.
It was on it, on the rise. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have sworn that in this interview, Martha says, and I was like, oh, it probably had a double peak, right? But yeah, I couldn't get you that.
Martha points out that in the last 2 years, caviar has become a mainstay of almost every fine dining menu. It's served with everything from omelets to scallops to deviled eggs. So it you know, started up in the fine dining world, and now is like every, I mean, I bought some like grocery store caviar and the other day was like, oh, I bet I could make like I had some tinned fish. Cause you know, thing shopping.
Yeah.
I made a puttanesca sauce, but I didn't have capers. So I used caviar because that's how freaking fancy I am. Well, it's a sustainable food. It's become much, much more accessible in price, and it makes you feel like a baller.
So the price is lower. We're not talking the 1950s movie version of caviar is that it's like outlandishly expensive and only the richest people could afford it. That's not true. Totally. No. I said I had a point and a question. The question is, isn't it interesting that this is happening at a time when caviar, which is associated with Russia, not terribly popular in the West?
Very interesting. Maybe it's a secret PSYOPs campaign.
Ah.
We're taking it back.
Like, where is the caviar sourced from? I would be interested to know.
Yeah,
for these totally. People like Martha Stewart who pay attention to that part of their message, right? If all Martha their caviar says, was coming from Russia, I don't know whether they would be recommending it.
Martha says, and I quote, "It's a sustainable food. We've actually learned how to farm caviar very well, so we're not relying on Russian caviar anymore or Iranian caviar. And in fact, the caviar that I bought the other day, I can't remember where the holiday caviar, that was like expensive. I mean, that was like, you know, little $50 cans or whatever. It was fancy Christmas stuff. But I bought some the other day at Whole Foods that was $12 or $13 for, I think, like 3 ounces. And it's lake caviar.
Ah.
Like local. It's like US.
Is that the zirconia of caviar?
Possibly. It's still shiny, Tom. Just let me have this.
Or the, what is it? Chemical diamond? It's more like the chemical diamond because it's absolutely it's like caviar. Diamond, exactly. Yeah.
It's still made out of carbon.
Yeah.
I don't care, man. Let me tell you that I will not know the difference when I pop open my half bottle of champagne and have my caviar snickety snack. And I bought a little pancake mix so I can make my own blinis and creme fraiche.
Yeah.
And you can do a little dollop of hot sauce in your creme fraiche.
I know fish eggs probably, you know, doesn't go down smooth for some folks out there. But if you ever eat roe, which maybe you don't eat that either, but like, you know, like at a sushi like restaurant. Sushi. Yeah. It's same.
The lake caviar is actually not like I bought some say like the caviar that I used to make the puttanesca was very like salty and fishy.
Mm-hmm.
But the freshwater caviar is not salty at all.
Well, that makes sense. Like, right. Really, yeah. Because it's lake caviar. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
I hadn't even thought about that part.
Yeah. It is delightful. The salty stuff is really good with the creme fraiche. But then the more fresh stuff, that's where you do like the dollop of hot sauce and like maybe some like a slice of persimmon is what Sarah did. My friend Sarah.
Yeah.
Most interesting woman in the world. Yeah. I mean, you can have a lot of fun with your new caviar lifestyle for 2023. Treat yourself.
Can you smear caviar on your face as a moisturizer?
I mean, don't we think that's got to be next?
It's the ultimate. Yeah. It's the outcome. You know, after you've watched the RRR movie with your face stickers, you remove the face stickers and then slug yourself with caviar.
Absolutely. And save a little for on top of your blinny.
Yeah, and then lick a little out of the corners.
And that, friends, is how to live.
That's how we will all live for the next week. We also have other things from you, and some of our best things, no lie, come from the email. Among the emailers who are some of our best thing finders is Manny. And Manny has a new bit of phraseology for us. Heyo, Tom, Molly, have I got you a thing? Let them cook or let him cook. It's everywhere and it's coming soon to everywhere else. let them cook, meaning literally, but more often metaphorically, let them do their thing. A third party telling someone to leave someone else alone, or more often, just a compliment. I'm a bit late, but I think there's still gas left in this thing rocket, says Manny. Thing on.
Oh, my. Okay, well, first of all, if Manny thinks he's late, that means nobody else has heard about it.
Probably. <Yeah.
clears throat> So that's amazing. Also, it's everywhere and it's coming soon to everywhere else. We may have to steal as our actual tagline.
Yeah. It's everywhere and it's coming soon to everywhere. Coming soon to everywhere else. I love that.
That's incredible.
We don't mean to diminish your amazing thing spotting of Let Them Cook, which is spot on. I love that. But also, it's everywhere and it's coming to soon to everywhere else is great.
I love that so much. But also, I will now be on the alert for it because I haven't heard it, but I love it. And I'm definitely going to start using it.
I'm just going to start saying it inappropriately. Yeah.
Just let them cook.
Yeah, somebody's taking a long time at the checkout register at the grocery store. Let them cook. So that's not how that's used. I don't know. Yeah.
Jacob writes in on a pattern thing. Hey, Motori, Sloop 1496 here, sending in a thingadence for my thing spot.
Nice.
Terrazzo. A pattern thing. Looks like someone tried to make it a thing during the pandemic, but maybe now it's getting off the ground. Particularly, I saw the following travel tumbler in a local boutique shortly after Root Rambler finding some terrazzo dresses. Actually, silicone-wrapped glass travel drinkware may also be an upcoming thing. My girlfriend just received one as a holiday gift sourced from the Royal Botanic Gardens, Victoria. All right, I'm clicking on the link to become immediately obsessed with and
a
shopping for.
Speckled, durable terrazzo. Style of flooring. Oh,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it is a flooring style that has chips of marble, stone, or glass, and the gaps are filled in by cement. But there's also terrazzo, the pattern in dresses, on a basketball, shower speaker, throw blankets.
We had faux terrazzo tiles in my kitchen as a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that era.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this. Yeah. When I clicked this and saw it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that pattern. Can't. Wow. It's impossible to clean.
Right.
Because
that's why
it always looks
did
like
it.
Something got spilled on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why everyone did it, because they were like, oh, you can never tell. Like, that could be a little blood on the floor or just part of the pattern.
In the late 70s, I don't know why, my parents carpeted the kitchen.
Oh, dear Lord.
And the terrazzo tile stayed under.
Oh, my goodness, terrazzo. Okay, so they tried to make it a thing in the pandemic, and then maybe now it's actually really coming back. I love it. Let's go.
Jan from Germany on Lego. Hi, Tom and Molly. Lego and off-brand bricks are definitely a thing in Germany, so much so that Lego took legal action against some influencers in Germany who used the term Legos to refer to the bricks of other companies as well. Other companies are allowed to produce brick designs that are similar because the brick design has expired. There's no, he said trademark. I don't think it would be a trademark on the brick design. I think it would be a patent, but the protection has expired. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that. So I'll back you on that. Apparently Lego claims that Lego isn't a generic term and people should use the term interlocking building bricks instead. Klemmbaustein in German. But Jan says, I think you two should be safe from Lego's lawyers. I think you're right. Thank you.
I think that's probably true. It expired in 2011. And I actually remember hearing a story about how, and in fact, maybe even I might have even done a story about how the expiration of the Lego patent totally reinvigorated Lego. It was like the company was, you know, people were just like, oh, that's it. They're done for, because anybody can make interlocking bricks. And then Duplo came out and like it all went crazy. And then Lego went hard into the intellectual property game. They created Ninjago.
Yeah.
I think Ninjago was the first big IP that they created. And then they had a bunch of characters around it. And then they got into this licensing game. And it's almost like they've never made more money. Then when their patent expired, because you don't need that.
Yes. It's a great example of how protecting patents, copyrights, not trademarks. Trademarks are a little different because it's like brand confusion, but patents and copyrights for sure. Like protecting them for a small period of time is beneficial. But after that, it's actually detrimental to everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And this actually reinvigorated the whole like Starbucks being on every corner. It was like all of a sudden everybody wanted coffee.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
Lee Price writes in on TikTok music. I spent my New Year's Eve in the company of friends with some preteen kids. They couldn't stop showing me music videos for older artists they'd discovered via TikTok. But the cool thing was these were all genuinely good songs of substance, not the teen pop music I'd normally expect kids to gravitate to. They legitimately introduced me to some cool indie bands I'd missed in the 2010s. This has always been one of TikTok's strengths, but I've noticed an increase in more and more youngsters getting into older, non-top 40 music via TikTok. Mm-hmm. So is this increasingly a thing? I guess let's just collectively wait and see if any prepubescents try to child-splain the cure to you this year. Child-splain. See y'all at the 10-year It's a Thing live recording spectacle fest, which I can only assume will be held in a Costco food court.
Yes, next year.
It's coming next year.
Always
we had to put it off this year.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Whenever anyone asks you when Spectacle Fest is, it's next year.
It's next year.
Yeah. Just like nuclear fusion.
This is totally a thing. My kid knows all this weird old music. And I'm like, how do you know this?
And you've been building the case for this with several things you've mentioned, like the Fleetwood Mac and the John Denver and stuff. Yeah. Like where these older groups, older songs go viral on TikTok with the kids, like totally. Yeah. No, Lee, you're definitely on to an Uber thing here for sure.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Professor Art from the Philippines sent us an email on the latest Y2K nostalgia. Hello, Molly Tommy. Molly, your prediction that we're now moving from the 90s to the 2000s is just spot on because now Gen Z is coming after our early 2000s era digital cameras. Yes, old digital cameras are a thing. I first spotted it through some YouTuber using an ancient Olympus and I went, huh, that's interesting. But then it was quickly followed by a New York Times article basically declaring that this thing has exploded. Apparently, the youth is fascinated with the idea of disengaging from their all-in-one smartphones and making events feel more special. Plus, they're loving the harsher, less polished aesthetic that these 20-year-old cameras create. So yeah, bring out your old Casios and Nikons and Olympus with the sliding lens covers. They are once again a thing.
Guess what my son got for Christmas?
A digital camera?
Uh-huh.
Oh, which one?
A film digital camera.
Oh,
yeah, a Nikon.
Wow.
So they're, you know, he's like even more. He's layering on the hipster aspects. But producer Rich helped us find an old Nikon SLR.
That's amazing.
Not DSLR, but SLR. But I actually am like, I think he's finding it. I mean, he really is into the film camera, but I'm also like, you just need an old like point and shoot. digital camera.
Right, right. Yeah. Rich wanted us to disclose that he did use Professor Art's email as the basis of a Daily Tech News Show segment that he did on Monday as well.
As he should, because this is an Uber trend story.
And he credited Professor Art at that point too. But yeah, cassettes, digital cameras, like Sony released new MP3 players this week that look amazing because Sony's still great at design. I'm curious if those start getting some pickup. Like if this idea of like, you know, I want some single use stuff. Like, could we see a little resurgence there? That'd be interesting.
I know. Probably. Icor from way back in the BOL days.
Oh yeah.
Is in our Discord and was like, guys, I posted on December 9th about Nepo babies.
In the Discord. Discord. I'm definitely guilty of missing things.
In the
Discord.
Thing channel. Sorry. I know, me too. And he totally was like, look, Nepo baby. And he posted that New York magazine article. So yeah, we're giving you all the credit. You were right. You were first.
Are right to remind us of that. Thank you, Icor.
Yes. Thank you. And we got to like, in fact, Docky Joe has nude pickleball in there, which I've been avoiding talking about, but nevertheless.
Still a thing.
Is in fact a thing.
Sandra on the new TED Talk. Happy New Year, Molly, Tom, and Rich. To your prediction of Substack as the new TED Talk, I agree on the decline of TED Talks, but nominate Masterclass as an alternative. My social is full of masterclass ads from established influencers, filmmakers, authors, chefs. It seems that hosting a masterclass is the new status symbol, so I'd expect them to become aspirational for upcoming influencers. Are you seeing this too?
Yeah, you know what? You are a genius, Sandra. You are 100% correct. That is so it. Masterclass is the new TED Talk.
I have seen these and immediately dismissed them because they're ads.
Right. But it doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter. Like, if it soaks in, and like Sandra is arguing, if influencers also seeing them go, oh, Masterclass, I should imitate that, right? Or if Masterclass I should charge him for this idea, launches Masterclass X, where like people could do their own small versions of a Masterclass. Like, I don't know, maybe they have something like that already, but yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, this I can is totally genius. See it. Well, yeah. And I can see also why Masterclass would be more popular than a TED Talk, because I'm pretty sure you get paid for Masterclasses.
Yeah.
Like, they pay you. They choose you, and I believe they pay you, and maybe you even make revenue based on how. I mean, I'm not sure how the business model works, but you do get paid, and I'm pretty sure if you do a TED Talk, that's just like, you do a whole bunch of work on your speech, and then you do it for the prestige of giving a TED Talk. I think, again, I don't know for sure if you get paid, because no one's ever asked me to do a TED Talk, so bite me. But I'm suspecting that getting paid to do a masterclass is a big part of the reason why
there's
people
a difference
were like, yeah,
between
I'd rather
TEDx
do that.
And TED too. And I wonder if one gets paid and the other doesn't.
Right. Know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do get the feeling it's all for the honor of doing it.
I think it is.
Yeah. And the exposure. Because if you do like a full on reel, like TEDx gets you some exposure. But if you do a TED Talk, then you'd like, yeah, everybody knows.
It's big. Like, that's how you're going to sell your book or whatever. Totally. But yeah. Interesting. I'm gonna look that up. I do not know these answers. This is all speculation, but by next week or possibly the end of the show, I'll know.
Our shout outs this week, as every week, go to people at the top tier in our Patreon, patreon.com/itsathing. They are always handcrafted by artisan producer Rich Strafalino, based on all the best aspects of human culture and intellectual curiosity. This week's shout-outs are based on a selection from Paul Carl Feyerabend's Against Method, Outline of an Anarchistic Theory of Knowledge.
Rich is the smartest person we know. He just had this probably like on the shelf or whatever.
Yeah. He pulled this from memory. Yeah.
He did. He definitely did. All right. Shall I begin?
Please do.
All right. The objection that Kevin Sill is self-correcting and thus needs no outside interference overlooks first that every Eric Duncan is self-correcting. Look at what happened to Louis St. Amour after Vatican II. And secondly, that in Gabriel Cohen, the self-correction of Jake Woods, which tries to achieve more humane ways of living, overrules the self-correction of Benjamin Forrest, which has a more narrow aim, unless Laura Abel is given temporary independence. Hmm.
Hence, in a democracy, a local Lee Price not only will, but also should use Joe Hood in ways most suitable to Mike Akins. The competence of Morris Jones could be vastly improved by a James C. Smith that exposes Andrew Bradley's fallibility instead of acting as if Miranda Janelle did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
She exists.
She exists. Expose the fallibility is all we ask.
Expose it.
God forbid you become Louis St.
You
Amour
must
after
expose
Vatican
it.
II.
I am an anarchist. You must do what I say.
You must. I am an anarchist. Follow my rules.
These are the rules. And any anarchists that are listening, we know that's not really how it works. Okay.
Is it though?
Sorry. I love it. Funny joke.
Producer Rich says, it's legit my favorite theory of knowledge that I don't really agree with, but I like thinking about.
Nice. Yeah, I like that.
Oh, thank you, friends. If you would like to join the lucky patrons in the shout out level, please visit patreon.com/itsathing, where you can support us at any level you choose. And we are grateful to have you.
And all those great things that we got in email, keep those coming. If you're like, oh, I got one of those. Here's the email address, feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Give it to me.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.